gentlemen, draw!
I got knocked down twice, but I still believe I won the fight. And I believe every man in here thought I won that fight tonight.
We poured our hearts out tonight, you know what I mean? We both were warriors. We both went hand to hand, but with those two drops, I feel like I won the fight. I didn't think he had control of the fight. I think I let out just as much as he did. You know, I wasn't hurt. I think it was a great fight.
I don't think it was a split. I think Tyson Fury won all the way.
It is official now. We have the heavyweight championship fight that everybody wants to see. February 22nd, Deontay Wilder against Tyson Fury.
Wow, the professor, man, that video gets me hyped. That's the promo video for Tyson versus Fury 2. Oh my gosh.
Bro, I'm excited. And that video, you know, that gets you hyped, but it still doesn't even do it justice. This fight is going to be awesome.
Okay. Wow. So it's this Saturday night, my man. Las Vegas, you know, they're doing the big thing. Grand Garden Arena. This is the right match, right? Let's start there. This is the heavyweight match that the world, that you and I, this is what we want to see, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It's the only heavyweight matchup I want to see. I'm truly not that interested in the Joshua fight between either of them now.
Really?
You know, I think
why is
both
that?
Of them, I think he needs a little bit more to go. He needs a couple of dudes. Like, he needs to fight like a, you know, a Dillian White or a, you know, Big Baby Miller or somebody like that in the heavyweight division before I want to see Joshua versus one of them. I think his chin is suspect, and we all know one punch Wilder can put anyone out. Apparently, except for the Gypsy King, because he didn't do it last time. Or did he? Right. I don't really care about Joshua, but like, this fight is the fight to be had. And this should be another one of the best heavyweight boxing matches we've seen in a long time since the first fight that they had. That was epic. That was an instant classic.
Right. Instant classic.
You know what I mean? So, yes, this fight gets me very excited. I'm torn on it. I really am. And the more I think about it, the more torn I am. It's a tough one because the rematches, Deontay just seems to like do the Mayweather and just kill you in the rematch.
Right. Okay. Before we get into the nuts and the bolts of the second one and breaking it down, and no one does it better than you, Professor. I love our fight breakdowns. Let's kind of talk about, let's give it a little bit of this history lesson. Let's talk about the first fight real quick. You know, let's talk about Wilder, 40-0, 39 knockouts. Tyson Fury, 27-0, 19 knockouts. It's just like, this is it. You know, this is just, the heavyweight fight, you're right. They have a story behind it, history behind it. They have rematches, especially in boxing, especially for the heavyweight championships, are just gold. It's instant money. But you said something, it just boom, light bulb to me. You said instant classic. Anytime I think of a classic, if it's a movie or a song, that Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, when it really gets going, or you think of an instant classic, you think of one of the great games, Joe Montana throwing the touchdown in the back of the end zone, you think of a moment or something that just always grabs you. Is that moment, to me, I know what my moment is, especially of that fight, it's Fury getting up. The Undertaker, they called it, especially me being a wrestling fan. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, no, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it's definitely referred to as the Undertaker for sure.
So awesome. Oh, my God. But that's the moment of the fight.
That was epic. Yeah, that was the point of the fight. I mean, you can argue all the way up until round 9 that Wilder was losing on the scorecards. I mean, it's a legitimate case to not give Wilder a round before number 9, where he knocked him down in the 9th. And then, you know, Fury gets up from that, you know, moves around and is fine, and then does just fine in 10 and 11. And he's about to walk his way to a win, and then gets just absolutely right-handed left hook to hell. And he called upon the Undertaker. People say it was a slow count. People say whatever you want. But the man, once he started moving from laying on that ground, he never stopped. Right. He sat up. He rolled over, got up, stood up, bounced. Look at the guy, walked forward, did whatever you wanted to say. And bro, and went out to actually rock Wilder in the last 30 seconds of the fight and like go on to be impressive at the end to finish the round. And I honestly had Fury still winning on the cards, even with the 2 knockdowns and everything like that in the 9th and the 12th, because I really only gave Wilder the 9th and the 12th, maybe the 11th, maybe. But other than that, it's like Fury won on the cards to me. But those 2 knockdowns and the last one was so brutal and so, and you, it's, we always say that the judges remember the last thing they saw, right?
Right, right.
And the most epic moment was you saw him get knocked down, and you saw that, okay, even through all this whole fight, Fury had Wilder had that much power even at the end. But then Fury gets up and he finishes it. But even though he finishes the fight, doesn't knock, you know, Wilder back down, so doesn't even the round. It's definitely a 10-8 round in boxing, right?
Right, right.
So if you make it close, I mean, it's – but, it's a toss-up. It's an epic fight, though. It's epic.
Oh, of course. Okay, bro. So, you know, 3 cards. 1 card had it 15-11, Wilder. 1 card had it 114-112, Fury. And, of course, then the card is 113-113 draw. That's why it's a split draw. But one thing, if you just said, like, if you thought Fury won rounds 1 through 9, 1 to 9, right? There's no,
it's pretty arguable that you could do that with his head movement, with the way he's going, you know, with his jab and the way he kept distance. And I mean, he might have ate some punches, but for the most part, you know, he controlled a lot of the movement and he made him miss a lot. And he was putting together slick combos. They weren't necessarily super powerful, you know, really rocking Deontay, you know, and everything, but he definitely touched him. I would honestly say he definitely touched him a lot, so, a decent amount more in most of those rounds than Wilder, you know, came close to. Wilder's were looking for that one punch,
right?
Put you to sleep, shit.
So there's no way then he could have won. I don't care how great he was in those last rounds. Even if you give him 10-8, 10-8, and a 10-9, that doesn't add up. That doesn't. So to me,
he at least wins by 2 to 3 rounds on the card, even with that.
Right. So you thought, okay, what I'm trying to get at to you is you had 100% Fury winning that fight.
This is exactly how we called it. We were all sitting there, all of us at PWDB from there, we're sitting there watching the fight. And I had a bet. And I had, like, you know, our dollar bets that we do. You know me and you, Dave. We always do the dollar bets. That's our thing.
Yes, sir.
So I had another dollar bet going on. And I think we even raised it to 5 in the middle of the fight just to make fun, to have a little bit more fun with it. And I literally said, I looked at my buddy and I go, it's going to be a draw. And he goes, yeah, it is. I was like, it's going to be a draw. They're going to rob him right now of this win. It's going to be a draw. And I just had a weird feeling. And I was like, they're not going to give it to the guy who won. They're going to give it, they're going to make it a draw because this man knocked him down so devastatingly in the 12th. And that's what they remember. And I remember saying that. And I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. I was like, come on. They got to give it to him. Boxing's going to get this right.
Right. Well, okay. So, I agree with you. They did not get it right. Fury won that fight. The knockdown, Wilder had probably the biggest moment, the biggest production in the fight, but he only had it for, you said, around 2-3. I give you that. I agree. I think Fury just, he was the better boxer throughout the fight. Round to round, longer conjunctions of the fight, you know, 2 to 2.5 minutes each round, more rounds than Wilder, Tyson Fury that night, 2018, I think it was December 1st off the top of my head, if I nailed that, you're welcome. If he should have won that night.
I agree. But, you know, it's also one of those things where, you know, lately we've seen a lot of really, really bad decisions. Like, you know, we talked about the John Jones Reyes one. Most people think that was 3-2 Reyes. Don't matter how you scored, you can look for the longevity of the rounds. Obviously, you saw him wearing down. If there was two more rounds, Jones probably would have won. You know, scorecards give it to Jones. You go back to the biggest robbery I've seen in a long time, and the Canelo Triple G first fight, where it's a draw, where clearly that fight should have been given to Triple G, and that scorecard was way out of whack. So it's not the biggest robbery we've seen in a sense, but it's among those ones that you're kind of like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Clearly, like I said, I visually can see where a person can argue it, but statistically and from a boxing standpoint, I don't see where you can say that Fury didn't win. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
no,
visually and for moment wise, like we talk about moments and people remember moments. Like you said, people remember moments, and those moments you can look at from the one point where they're like, shit, Fury got up, but he knocked him down so bad. He did it twice. You know what I mean? And it's like, how did he not win that fight if he knocked the guy down twice? You know what I mean? Like, visually, I get what you're saying, but statistically, the man danced around and beat him up for a majority of the rounds.
John, you know us, we're basketball fans. If Shaquille O'Neal had two monster jams and, you know, monster dunks, and he gets 4 points, but he missed 5 foul shots, and Hakeem Olajuwon shoots 4 for 4 for those 14-foot Jays at the corner, they're 1-8-4. The Rockets would beat the Magic in the finals like they did. So I couldn't agree with you more, and that maybe is my best analogy of all time, but Wilder only won moments, a couple big moments, a couple big knockdowns. He did not win that boxing fight. He didn't.
No, I 100% agree with you. But I mean, like I said, visually people look at it different. People will argue any which way. But statistically, I don't see it. I don't see how you could look at it any other way. But I mean, again, that's why sports are, you know, that's why we do this. That's why it's so much fun.
That's why it's the best.
I mean, we wouldn't want it any other way as much as we complain about it. You know what I mean?
Right. This is the fight breakdown, guys. Wilder versus Fury 2 this Saturday night, February 22nd, Las Vegas on pay-per-view. Call it unfinished business. It's weird. I had something else I was going to say into it, but like, I want to drop the hammer on you. Like, I'm ready, and I know we're going to go back and forth with my hammer. So I'm like, I kind of want to bring it to you. Are you ready? Are you ready to go with this?
Let's go.
So when this fight, I was like you, this is the fight to make. I'm happy boxing did it. I love the date of it. I think this is great. This is perfect time in. You know, they didn't go 4 or 5 more fights, whatever. Good job. All right. So
yeah.
I'm, really thinking, I thought Fury won the first one, and I just thought, I learned from you. Some guys just, you know, punch their ticket, and I'm like, okay, it's going to be Fury. I like him a lot. And, you know, I'm thinking more about the fight. And for the last 8 to 10 months, John, in Rocky 3, right? When, you know, he becomes the champ and Stallone is everywhere and he's all over the place. He kind of loses that spark, and he had to go back in that, you know, that dungeon to really train. Like, he really knows how to train to defeat Clubber Lang. You know where I'm going?
Yeah, I know exactly where you're going.
Tyson Fury, who I thought won fight one, and for the last 10 months, it feels like he did win that fight. He's on the championship tour. He was at the Russell, the Saudi Arabia event when he fought Braun Strowman in a wrestling match. He's training with Darren Till. Is he going to fight Stipe Miocic for the UFC heavyweight match? He's training. We see pictures of him. We see all this jazz. He's on Jimmy Fallon. I've seen Tyson Fury almost everywhere in the world except for a boxing ring, John. Deontay Wilder, maybe it's me, maybe I'm not in it as much as you, and I know, dude, I love your boxing intake. That's why we're talking. I haven't seen Wilder. I've seen that man just punch and punch down wood in the forest. I'm going all in. Hey, beat me up if you want me to. I think Deontay Wilder defeats Tyson Fury in the second match. I think he stops him. I think he puts him down.
What round?
Six. Five.
Oh, okay.
They don't make it
all
to
right,
six.
Five.
Do you feel me on that?
You're not wrong, except for one thing. Okay. Tyson Fury did have another match, just like Deontay Wilder did, but you don't remember Tyson Fury match because he took it to decision. He was, besides a cut that he got over his head, over his eye, which he was able to fight through. It was a pretty bad cut, but over his, I don't forget which eye, but he was able to fight through and dominate on the card still. He outboxed the gentleman that was undefeated and a heavy puncher. You know, obviously not as heavy a puncher as, you know, Deontay Wilder. Very few people ever were in the history of punchers. So he has been competing, but after that fight, he had that big gap, whereas Deontay Wilder's fight happened, I believe, after Tyson Fury's decision fight. So when you watched him fight Ortiz and he put Ortiz out like that, that was a big impressive thing because it happened so early. You know what I mean? And he again, losing on the cards if you look at it. So I get where you're coming from and I can see exactly what you're saying. You know, the overconfidence that could come in, things like that. He's doing the waking up in silk sheets type of thing. And, you know, Deontay's hungry and ready to prove himself in you know, like you said, unfinished business is what they're calling it, and it makes perfect sense that way. So, and I get nervous about the rematch because Deontay Wilder is so good in them. He finds the right hand earlier. You know, like it took him those whatever number of rounds in the first fight to find it, and now because of that, he finds it earlier. You know what I mean? And he right. hits you with it, and it's even cleaner than the last ones were. And it's a scary, scary punch. But I think if any one of the boxers that he's fought in a rematch could change their style and adapt better, I would say it's Tyson Fury in the way he boxes.
Okay.
And I think if he went back to the lab and he worked what he was supposed to do and he's saying all the things that he's saying, because right now the word out of their camp is they extremely can't wait to the second round, like specifically the second round. They really feel they're going to knock him out in the second round. What they're doing, what they're talking about, I have no idea. It seems to be a little secret, a little thing they're doing, you know, that they know or something they see or whatever. Maybe it's some Gypsy King magic going on in there. I have no idea, but they're excited about the second round and they really think that's when they're going to put him, you know, they're going to put Wilder away. And, you know, I'm excited to see it, but because of that, I wonder how much of that strategy will help Deontay, you know, find that right hand earlier. If Tyson starts getting better. If Tyson starts getting, you know, reachy or risky in his combination choices and how much he leaves his head right there in the middle for Deontay to time and hit. So it's a really interesting rematch because of this.
Oh, for sure. Are you ready to label the winner of this fight is the, you know, the best heavyweight what do you think, last 5 years? Last five, 7 years?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Easily up until Klitschko's, you know, middle of Klitschko's reign and prime when he was just beating everybody because of his, you know, height and everything like that. Easily the best heavyweight. And the funny thing about it is, Dave, like what you just pointed out, one guy has three belts. The guy that they're trying to get the belt from in here has only one belt. They're going to be considered the best heavyweight in the world.
Right.
And they
right.
only have one of the belts. It's like the green belt is the only thing that matters in the heavyweight division right now because of who has it and how he does things. Because it is damn impressive that you have 42 wins and 40 knockouts.
Right. Right.
42 wins and 40 knockouts. One went to a decision, and one was a draw on the decision. It's like, what?
I know, man. And
what?
People talk about it, and I'm not one of those people, but if they said if the ref counted a little bit faster, it would have been 41 knockouts.
I try to tell people this. We've talked about it before.
Yep.
It's not a 10 count. It is a subjective thing, so the human can change the pace of it. It's not a 10 second count. It is a 10 count.
Right.
John McCarthy is on talks about that all the time, it being that way, that it is at a – it is a 10 count, not a 10 second count. And if you think about it, with all of the glove wiping and all of that commands to step forward and things like that, you're actually getting more seconds than you have anyways. So I get what people are saying, but if it would have been a quick match and all of a sudden he starts to get up right at, you know, right before he hits 10 and they don't let him have it, then everybody's going to complain the other way. You know what I mean? That was a fast count. That's terrible. This and that. But the guy gave a world championship class fighter, a lineal heavyweight champion and everything like that. He gave him the benefit of the doubt and his mind, what he thought was a fair amount of time and a championship fight to get up. The man got up, finished the round, and you can't say he didn't finish it strong because he rocked Deontay. And I think it was good. I think with the way the round went, if he would have got up and got destroyed, well then, yeah, I understand what everybody would have said. Oh, he was out in the first time. You know, yeah, but he wasn't out. He got up and that man went on to put on a finish that was real close. Give him 15 more seconds. He might put Deontay back down. Like, you know, on his side for once, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So it's either way.
And then, bro, wait, John McCarthy, you mean the UFC referee, John McCarthy?
Yeah, he was quoted on saying that, like, it's a 10 count. It's not a 10 second count. And he tries to tell people that. He's like, it's up to every referee is going to have a different rhythm, different base, because they're going to pick up. Because you got to realize that when it becomes a count, the ref has to get the other fighter in a neutral corner because he can't be coached at this time. So he gets them to neutral corner. He turns and looks at his bottom ref, which is next to the one of the judges or whatever, like the bottom ref, center ref on the around the apron, and he has a count. As soon as that man hit the ground, legally, as far as whether it's a glove or whether it's he fell, knee, whatever it may be, starts a count. That ref then turns from getting his other opponent into a neutral corner, turns and picks up the count. Now the count may change pace. It is because it's another human being tucking it. So the first guy may count slow. Now the second guy counts slow, or maybe the first guy count fast, but the second guy counts slow. So you have a different number that is actual time every time.
I just never knew John McCarthy knows how to count to 10. He's like a MMA ref. We don't count to 10.
He did kickboxing for a long time, brother.
Really?
He's done glory kickboxing matches.
That's
he's
true.
Done.
That's true.
I believe he's been around this thing for a long time. They picked him up in MMA because he was so experienced in martial arts, reffing.
Oh, he's a legend, man. He's a legend. Also legends, guys. Fury Wilder. It's here, guys. This Saturday, the rematch, unfinished business. It goes down. I don't think we asked. I don't think. Yeah, we got into this. I got Wilder winning. I got him in five. What's your official, the professor's stamp on Fury Wilder 2?
I think. Thinking, oh, I told you this thing has been eating me away about this rematch thing. It's like I keep thinking of Deontay like Mayweather. Just the rematches are not good for the second party. But I want to flip it. I'm going to take the opposite. I'm going to take Gypsy. I'm going to take Gypsy King. I think you're wrong about him, you know, and his work ethic. I think he was able to go back in the lab, and I believe in his actual boxing IQ and technique that he can go in and develop some changes that are gonna shock Deontay and really let him put him. I don't know if he put him away or definitely get him on the ropes and give him a hurting that that he hasn't had in a long time or ever. So
dollar,
I'm gonna go Gypsy King dollar, and we're gonna say that he drops him in the eighth and finishes him in the 11th.
Ooh, you got to go in long distance, 11
but
rounds.
But the finish, he won't drop again. He'll get finished on the ropes.
Oh, yeah, and the referee stops it. Comes in.
Yeah, it'll be a TKO, and he'll just be taking too much, and Deontay won't go down, and he'll be reaching, getting smacked, and the ref will step in and take a TKO on it. and that's what I think of the 11th. But yeah, he'll get dropped in the 8th.
McGregor, whether it be, Mayweather style.
Yeah, whether he gets dropped with a body, I don't think it's going to be a body shot. I think it's going to be a decent, like, hit him. The guy's going to take a knee, or, you know, the knee. I don't think he's going to be laid out, I think, but he's going to go down.
Okay, I love it. This is probably my maybe favorite part of the breakdowns that we always do. What's next for both men? In your eyes, you have Fury winning. Is it Fury Joshua time?
It could be. It could be. I'll take Fury Joshua just for the spectacle of it, to tell you the honest to God truth.
Right.
I'll take that after Joshua fights somebody else. Because after Fury beats Deontay Wilder, he's not fighting again until the end of the year. So Joshua can get another fight in. He's got some dude lined up, and he can get, you know, maybe, you know, maybe one more. Joshua, I mean, it's February. I wouldn't say that Fury won't fight until September or later.
Right. I agree.
After this one. So I think Joshua gets his in, and then maybe they fight again, as long as it works out. But Andy Ruiz fights, you know, Dillon White. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I think that's who it, I think that's who he's fighting. If Andy Ruiz, you know, beats Dillon White, there's some claim there for Andy Ruiz and Tyson, and that would be interesting.
Okay.
And, you know, so I mean, it's a little bit different, but obviously this is the fight to make. This is right. The fight to worry about. If Deontay Wilder wins, put anybody you want in front of him, and we'll watch it to just see somebody get KO'd or whatever. Because I think the only person that can box with him right now is Tyson Fury, and that's going to just – it's going to be his boxing style, his slickness, his, you know, his agility, his head movement, his – punch combination, his punch selection, all of that stuff is gonna be the only thing that can compete, I think, with Wilder. I thought for a long time Joshua could, but I'm wrong on that. He's gonna get hit with the right hand, and it's gonna shake his dome. Sweat's gonna spray off like every other person we've just seen.
Okay, you know, this is just more broad topic questions on boxing, my man. Why do you think that Deontay Wilder at 42-0-1 is just not getting the – it seems like he needed Fury for this rematch to have buzz, to create pay-per-view numbers, to get people to go and get a group and have fun out there. Like, why don't you think he's getting some of that, you know, mainstream Evander, you know, Lewis, Tyson, all that love?
Listen to the names you're saying, man. Riddick, you know, like, you could add in Riddick Bowe in there during that era.
Yeah,
you could
Foreman.
Add in, you know, like George Foreman, if, you know, later era. You can add in, you know, all these other heavyweights that were just amazing during that time, and they were all coming up around the same time together, you know what I mean, and they wanted to fight each other, and they went back and forth, you know, with the championship belts. They were spread out, they weren't ever really unified for a long time, because you had so many good competitors and good heavyweights and like names that we can, you know, hold on to and remember, right? The generation that we're looking at for heavyweights right now for boxing, we're going to remember two of them. We're only going to remember three of them, because he's going to be the first ever. He was the first ever Mexican heavyweight champion. But we're not going to remember him for a long time besides that. We're just going to remember Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder in this era right now, because – and they needed each other. Tyson Fury beat Klitschko, and then when he came back, he needed all that. He needed Deontay Wilder, just like Deontay Wilder needed Tyson, because they're literally the only two great heavyweights right now. I'm sorry, Joshua. I'm sorry. You have a beautiful physique, and you have a good boxing, you know, skills, but it's not on the caliber of these freak men that are about to collide here, you know, on the 22nd. You're just not at that level, and I'm sorry. That's just the truth of the matter. You know, at one point we thought we were going to be one of them. It was going to be a great little small era of heavyweights doing what they need to do. But right now, there's two men, and they're about to settle their differences on the 22nd. And it just doesn't hold enough water unless one of them beats the other one.
Right. Yeah. Like
for this era. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. We need to stamp it. We need to say, hey guys, you know, late 2000 and teens to the early 2020s, you know, shoot, maybe another 2-3 years if he only fights one or twice a year. And especially just say if Wilder gets this win, and, you know, by 2023, my man, you can say, hey, guys, Deontay Wilder, 47-0, 46-0-1, maybe even beat Joshua, maybe even, you know, who knows, Ruiz, maybe he gets two more, three more big, you know, caliber wins. And he's just one of those guys you're like, yeah, he's an all-timer. He's the heavyweight of a generation almost.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. But let's also contribute. I want to, like, I was just thinking about this literally in my head. You can tell me what you think about it. Like, I was just thinking that, like, we don't have a long time champion. The last long time heavyweight champion we had was, you know, the Klitschko brothers, and mainly the one Klitschko brother, Vitaly Klitschko. And that was the early 2000s. That was the beginning of where MMA started taking off and getting more and more,
right,
you know, ground. And I really want to contribute that to the fact that we didn't have an American heavyweight champion that was someone that everybody feared, like when we had Tyson. If MMA tried to make ground when we had like the Tysons and the Holyfields and things like that, I don't think it would have been able to gain as much ground as it did when we didn't have one. All we had was lightweight boxers at the time. Like, the Mayweather was the biggest draw during this time.
Right.
So it was one boxer in one division that moved up and down, maybe two divisions, you know, three divisions in his prime and everything like that. So MMA gained the ground. So now the biggest draw for heavyweights, for things like that, is the MMA scene. So it's hard. They needed then these two gentlemen needed each other, and they needed this rematch, and they needed the first fight, and they needed it to be that way in order for them to solidify anything during this era.
There was an empty spot, my man. There was an empty thing in the market. There was a Saturday night of a heavyweight pay-per-view that boxing was not giving to us. Boxing was not giving that to the consumer. And then mixed martial arts, UFC, took it. They grabbed it. They shaved a guy into a mohawk, put a tattoo on the side of the head, and called him Chuck. And the rest is literally history. We got John Jones versus Reyes and so on. We just saw Jan Bonovich, you know, at ESPN Plus. It's amazing what the light heavyweights and heavyweights are doing. Last little question, and we're going to go away. This is Fight Breakdown. Nothing's better. You got Fury. I got Deontay. We are, you know, we mainly do talk about MMA and UFC. Is there any chance we're going to see Tyson Fury cross over into the UFC scene, and especially even jump on that Stipe Miocic train that they're building up?
Okay. So your last question could literally take us 20 minutes, minutes to talk about, because let's think about this. Like, the first thing I want to discuss is exactly what we're talking about. Think about the era of Holyfield, Foreman, Riddick Bowe, Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson. None of those guys would have ever switched over to MMA or wanted to cross over with the money they're making. If you look at the money they made then, they were still making millions. They're still making more money than the heavyweight champion of the world today in the UFC. Right? Can we agree upon that?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. We can agree upon that easily, right? They were making millions, and Mike Tyson was walking around with $20 million or something like that as a 19-year-old, right? Like, they were making mad money back then as a heavyweight boxing champion of the world. So they would have never crossed over. Never. And even though Tyson Fury is making a $100 million deal for five fights, so that's $20 million a pop, that's way more than he'd make in the UFC, right?
Yes.
But where is the prestige at right now? Where is the word that the youth is using, the clout? Where is your clout most at? UFC champion,
clout?
And you're the heavyweight champion of the world, as the UFC, or you're the light heavyweight champion or whatever it is, you're the baddest man on the planet at that weight. Would you not agree?
Dude, I agree, but I still can't get over that you said the word clout on the Fight Pass podcast.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying, that's what my kids at school tell me, that, you know,
being
that,
professor?
They're just trying to get some clout, Coach Rad. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's what he needs. That's what he wants. Everybody wants to be the next big thing. Who's the biggest thing in combat sports right now?
UFC.
He's back on the, yeah, anything in combat sports, it's always Connor. It's right. You can argue it either way. In combat sports as a whole, it's still Conor McGregor. They're talking about Manny Pacquiao, Conor McGregor. They're talking about him in two different sports.
Right.
It is what it is. Like you could, I don't know, however you look at it, his name buzzes. It's like Mayweather. Even during the time that he retired, every time he retired, we knew he'd come back, but his name was always in the conversation. He's like, it was always there. It's Conor's there. That's the name. Tyson Fury wants his name to be like that. All these boxers want their name to be like that. Deontay Wilder is comfortable in who he is in his skin and knows that he's a bad, bad mofo. So he doesn't really care about none of that. He's more worried about his boxing legacy. Tyson Fury says, oh, if I get through Deontay, I still want more. You know, I want my name to go down. So I'm going to do this because that's where the most prestige is. That's where the next big, huge payday is. You know what I mean? It's changing the game.
So you're thinking that if you're 6'3", 6'6", you're 250 pounds, and you walk into a gym, you go to Pete White Boxing and MMA in Port Orange, Florida, and you're a heavyweight stud, you're thinking that Coach Pete, Coach John, and Ando's going to be like, hey, come over here to the mat. Let's roll. Let's see where you're at. Let's see you kick. Let's see you punch. Instead of, hey, just jumping into the ring and throwing your jab. Is that what you're coming with?
What I'm saying is it depends on your athleticism. It depends on how you're built as an athlete. I feel like people could argue with me about this. Boxing's harder than MMA. As far as the stamina thing goes, 12 championship rounds, let's say your athlete walks in the gym that you're talking about right now. He's a world-class athlete, correct?
Yep.
World-class.
Yep.
And this man can go to the top in either one. But the one question mark in his category is his gas tank. Conor McGregor is a world-class athlete. Could go to the top. He has extremely legit skills in boxing and went to the top in MMA, but started in boxing. But what's his gas tank built for? Is it built for 12 rounds of boxing, or is it built for explosive movement in MMA to where you can finish a fight within seconds?
Yeah, he's a 40-second first round Cerrone kind of a guy.
So he's a fast twitch A type muscle like go. Let's think about Tyson. Did Tyson fight last long? Did he do well when he fought 12 rounds? He might have won some decisions, but what was he known for?
Sure.
Killing you in the first four.
Yeah. He wants
right?
it. He
so
doesn't get paid by the minute.
Fast twitch type A body again, right?
Right.
So I'm looking at the athlete going, which one is he? What type are you? Do you have just natural cardio or you have a gas tank like Daniel Cormier and wrestlers do, and you just can go forever? If you do, boxing might be the way for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless your only gas tank is in controlling someone's body and laying on them and things like that, then MMA is the way you need to go, right?
Right.
If your gas tank is built to explode in quicker movements and everything like that, then I'm putting you in MMA first because we can explode and do it. And we can take control of the fast fight or the fight fast. And we can get out of there quicker with more ways of doing it. And if you're athletic enough, then that's the best route as far as being successful, faster, quicker, and having more options to do it, right? If you have the cardio and the longevity to be able to throw punches and move, and you love the chess match that boxing is, and the amount of work that has to go into the cardio that you need for those amount of rounds to be able to throw punches and be on your legs and everything like that, it's a different cardio, you know, than MMA. It's a whole different cardio than MMA. They're both extreme, but it's a different type. And if you can do that, well, then boxing might be the way for you. But it comes down to the athlete again. And I think more people lean to the explosive, you know, if you're an athletic person, you lean to the explosive, I can get it done quicker. And what sport's going to allow me to do that? Unless you just fell in love with the sweet science and you want to learn how to do all of that and look pretty like the GOAT Roy Jones Jr. or be super slick defensive like, you know, Mayweather, or try to dance around people and catch them off the guard like Lomachenko.
Wow. I love it. Professor, man, thank you so much. I'm like, I was excited for the fight, of course, where it's a heavyweight rematch, undefeat, all this, the Undertaker, everything. I'm excited now. I can't wait. Now I'm ready. I hope everyone that's listening is like that as well. This has been the Fight Breakdown, maybe 5 or 6. We didn't even do our cool intro. I forgot it. I think it goes something like Fight Breakdown, Fight Breakdown. My man, awesome. Any last words? I can't wait. I appreciate you always coming on the show, my man. Always love it. It was definitely a delight for all the listeners out there. Any last words from you, brother?
Oh man, just excited. Everybody check out the fight breakdowns that we do, and then we got a couple more coming up. Big fight card coming up for the UFC that we're gonna do. So make look out for that. Adesanya, Yoel Romero, Jacek, and God, I'm gonna murder this name, Zhang Weili.
I think you nailed it.
I hope so. But we got that coming up. So yeah, man, just keep looking out for the fight breakdowns for the podcast. Dave, you're killing it, man. I love all the content. You know, you're the best, dude. You're the best at this. I love it.
Appreciate it, my man. Content is king. Content is king. So we're just the king makers.
Yeah, man, and you're doing it. I love seeing it every day. And then other than that, no, man, just everybody check out. Oh, also check out PWB's team at Island Fights. We're going to be rocking.
Can't wait, my brother. That's Island Fight 62. That's Friday, February 28th, the week after Wilder Fury 2. Unfinished business. We have finished business here at Fight Bananas. We're going to spit at you guys later. My man, have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
You too.
Kind of man crawled into his own grave in search of hope.
On Judgment Day, I won't fade away. I'll be pushing on till the rivers run dry. I've got to try, try, try. I'll keep pushing on till my
be Judgment Day.
On Judgment Day, I won't fade away.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you have an hour to kill, go look up Wilder Fury and 2 and all the promos. They're epic, or you can say they're bananas. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the Fight Banana Podcast. All of our sponsors, Warhammer Fightwear, Mako Tech Mouth Guards, Enso Nutrition, Fusion CBD products, of course, put in the code FIGHT2020. The code is FIGHT2020 for 20% off your full purchase at FusionCBDProducts.com. Guys, thank you so much. It was one of my favorite fight breakdowns in our fight history. Fight Bananas, keep on subscribing on YouTube, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you can get your podcasts. Guys, that was the Fury Wilder 2 Unfinished Business, the Fight Breakdown.